Go ahead.
Hello, this is the Press Row Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, the definitive sports video game show brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Well, all right, we are back, and we are here with returning friend Colby Launchbaugh, who is the creative director of Madden NFL 16. And we also have with us this week John White, the designer of Connected Franchise Mode. Colby, John, welcome to the Press Row Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yep, thank you.
So, Colby, you were on last week, so you're old news, right? Everybody already knows about you.
I know. Hopefully no longer interesting.
But John, this is your first appearance on the Press Row Podcast. You are, as I mentioned, the designer on the Connected Franchise Mode. Before we get into the details on CFM, which everybody wants to know about, myself included, John, why don't you just give us a little background? How long have you been on the Madden team? What's your, you know, what's your background, and what do you personally bring to the CFM, mode, for Madden NFL 16?
So I've been on Madden since end of Madden 12, and I've been working on a lot of various features the last few years. Last year, I worked on a lot of play call and all the in-game broadcast UI that was added and the main menu updates last year and the year before. Worked on a bunch of stuff for the main menu, but also in the news center and CFM, CCM the first year it came out. Before that, I worked on EA Sports MMA, a lot of the online modes. I'm really focused in usability and gameplay loops and making sure we have fun systems in place and making sure we're getting feedback to the users that we've never done before. Getting that, that's, I guess, the big thing for me is making sure users are having fun playing our game and getting a lot of play tests. And we've done a lot of stuff this year in that area that we haven't done previously, so I'm real excited about that.
So when it comes to Madden, the franchise mode for Madden, I believe, is the most important franchise mode in all of simulation sports games. Not that they're not all important. They're all key ingredients. But unlike any other sport, you know, you can play an entire season of Madden in 16 games, right? I mean, baseball, it's 162. Basketball, it's 82. Hockey, it's 81 or 82. You know, the amount of time and investment into playing, not necessarily simulating, but playing an online franchise is much bigger, a franchise mode is much bigger in any other sport other than Madden. So because of that, I believe that the franchise mode in Madden probably gets the most gameplay, the most attention, and the most usage out of all of them. John, do you agree with that? And if so, what kind of, maybe the word pressure isn't the right word, but knowing that it has so much attention, you know, how does that impact your approach to, you know, to your design work on the mode?
So it is. It's one of the most popular modes in our game, and our game is a very big game, so there's a lot of people playing it. So from a design standpoint, we have to make sure we design features for all of our users. You know, the guys that love to play every day, for the guys that, you know, pick up Madden and on a more casual basis. So making sure that all the users that are playing this mode are having a fun time playing through the season with their favorite team. For me, yeah, I think there's a little bit more pressure than some of the other modes, but it's fun. It means that a lot of people care, and that's where you get the best feedback from.
So let's get right into some of the details on, you know, what's happening this year in Connected Franchise Mode. Now, I've talked about it on this show quite a bit, Colby. I mentioned it last week. I mean, I'm a big CFM guy. I play in an online league. We're in the middle of our fourth season's playoffs right now. We use all of the features pretty much that we can. It's a big part of how we play video games. So as you took a step back and you sort of organized what you were going to do to CFM, what is the overall theme, and what are some of the top two or three things that, you know, you have added or modified or adjusted to CFM that point directly to that theme?
So I think thematically, we really wanted to make it more accessible. I know that's a really kind of a cliche thing to say, but when you look at the data that we have on how users play CFM, our really casual guys, the guys that only touch it once a week or only play when their friends are over or they play really hard for a couple weeks and then they walk away, those guys don't make it that far, and they're clearly not experiencing everything that CFM has to offer. So from the highest level, we wanted to make sure that those guys were able to experience everything that CFM had to offer. And then we wanted to take and make that experience just a little bit deeper and a little bit more interesting for all of our returning players. That was kind of the high-level goal. I'll let John get into some of the details of how we're delivering that. But that's where we started from with how we're going to take CFM in a, you know, a little bit of a new direction as we move forward.
Okay. So then, John, what are a few specific examples that you can cite related directly to that theme?
So accessibility. We bring in a lot of people to play test the mode, and we can watch them and get their feedback right there. And one of the big things we saw at the beginning is, hey, I just want to get in and play. And like going through the intro flow and signing up your league last year, some people were getting confused in a few places. So that was one of the first places we went to tackle was, hey, let's make sure users that want to get in and play a franchise mode, they can get in and start playing their game without being real confused. So we went and updated the intro flow loading into the mode this year to make sure it was a little bit more straightforward for the more casual people, but leaving all the advanced options that you would expect to find there, as well as adding a couple.
So when I start playing it, I presume, and I don't know the answer, but I presume that the way that I can experience CFM is still from the perspective of an individual player, of a coach, of an owner. Is that correct? Are those still the three main ways to play it?
Yes.
Okay. So once I basically decide what I'm going to be, and you know, it sounds like right from the start, you know, you can start playing faster. So, you know, how do I get right into it? And you know, what are some of the ways that you've updated it to you know, hit that target of getting in quickly?
So, right now we default you. We essentially put together our recommended settings for this year. And that includes defaulting you to the coach, also defaulting you to start in the regular season. So those are a couple of the new additions to the flow that you can easily change if you'd like to. But we found that the more options you give, some of the people that aren't real familiar with the mode, sometimes they would struggle through it, and they wouldn't have a whole lot of fun trying to answer questions they didn't really know how to answer. So we set up a couple recommended options, essentially, that you can just start right in. So I mentioned starting in the regular season. So that's a new feature as part of the intro flow, where we have these starting points. So you can choose fantasy draft, that's been in the mode for a little while, the preseason, or the regular season. So adding that addition to be able to jump right to the regular season at the beginning of the league was a new addition there.
You know, it's interesting. Do you know, I mean, you probably do, like, based upon the percentage of people who play this in an online mode with one or more of their friends versus those who play it alone, did the percentages of that one way or the other influence sort of how, you know, these default settings and things like that? Or is this just more based upon overall analysis and feedback directly from folks?
Well, to kind of speak to the online versus offline, one of the changes we did make, and you'll notice when you boot up the game too, is you won't see the option online league or offline league. You'll see cloud or offline. So by us rebranding the online to cloud, we're now going to open the door to the people that originally thought online league was, hey, this is the place to go that's really competitive, where cloud is a little bit of a friendlier term. And essentially what that means is, you know, all your data will be stored on our servers. Your sim times are faster. You'll be able to access our website and be able to view and interact with your league from there. So there's a whole plethora of extra options that you get by using what we previously had called online, that we want to make sure that the more casual users that don't necessarily want to play head-to-head games can access as well. So that's why we rebranded it as Cloud, and it seems to have been working in our local playtest to get in those new users that would love those extra functionality that it brings, but they aren't scared thinking that online is just the head-to-head. Of course, Cloud, you can then invite your friend right there and into the league just like you could last year, and all the extra bells and whistles from online leagues are there as well.
And we're hopeful that by getting some of these guys in who were afraid of the word online, hopefully getting them in and they see the fact that, oh, I can invite my friends, and that's how we message it, it feels a lot more, or a lot less intimidating and a lot more like something like, oh, yeah, I want to do that. I want to bring my friend into this universe, and we'll play together. And they don't think of online as we can play together. They think of online as we have to compete against each other.
Interesting. One of the other things that I'm seeing here right now too that you've added is this term called the dynamic drive goals. Explain to me not only what the dynamic drive goals are, but sort of what the genesis was of them.
Let me give a quick high level, because there's two kind of goal systems. One is the goal system that anyone who's played CFM, they know. We have the weekly, the seasonal, and milestone goals. Those are all still present. They have been upgraded and changed a little bit, and John will get into that. And then we have the dynamic drive goals. Now, the reason I wanted to make sure you're aware that they both exist is they both kind of, they're not competing. How should I best explain this? They augment each other, really. Like, so the seasonal and weekly goals are things that you know going into the game that you're going to have to try and do, whether it's to rush for 100 yards or throw for 2 touchdowns or whatever it is your goal is. We are making you aware of those goals now once you're in the game. So as you make progress as a quarterback, you know your goals and you can go and achieve your goals. They're pretty simple. And as you make progress towards those goals, we update you with like a bottom line ticker that shows you how many you needed you are toward completing your weekly or season goal. The added benefit to this is if you're playing as a coach or an owner, we give you updates for all of the positions, all the players that are playing, so that if you have a left end who has a tackle goal, you now are aware of it and you see if he's made progress toward his tackle goal and you start to realize, oh, okay, I need to get another tackle with him so that he can achieve his goal and get his XP bonus so that I can train him faster. And then the dynamic goals are really more of, they're situational to what's happening in the game, how you're playing, helping to correct confidence problems, things of that nature. John can probably get into a lot more detail here on how the dynamic goals work and what they're used for. So go ahead.
Yeah, so the dynamic drive goals, it's kind of like a bonus goal, and it really makes playing the game that much more kind of entertaining. Instead of just having the goal of like, hey, I have to win this game, it's like on a per drive basis, it's taking into account all the various aspects of that game that you're currently in, what you've done previously in the game, and giving you interesting goals based on those. So there's kind of bonus XP stuff that you can get and help your players grow that much faster.
You know, it's interesting.
And it also gives you confidence. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, please. You know, it's interesting how goal-oriented, you know, the CFM has become, right? You've got your drive goals, which we're going to talk a little bit about more. You've got your, you know, weekly goals. You've got your season goals and things like that. What is it, you know, is it based upon, you know, user feedback? Is it based upon just sort of, sort of an internal, you know, design perspective? I'm curious sort of where the goal-oriented, because obviously, you know, in football, the goal is to win or lose the game. But yet you've got the XP, and then you got the goals that factor in the XP. You know, it's interesting how goal-oriented a lot of this has been. And I'm just, you know, I'm curious where that originated and you know, what's causing it to continue to be such a integral part of the CFM experience.
So goals have been in, Connected Careers since the very beginning. Course, now in Connected Franchise, now we're just really trying to blow it out and make sure that everyone knows they exist and you know what you're to strive for, because it just adds that whole extra metagame to the game. And it's kind of this augmentation to the game that that makes it a little bit more fun to play. We, you know, we've been playtesting it. It's one of those features that we wanted to make sure we got a lot of feedback on early to make sure we weren't adding something that people didn't really find useful. And from the very beginning, people loved it. You know, it was one of those things of like, oh, well, now the game's like that much more challenging and interesting to me because not only do I want to get a touchdown on this drive, but I want to get a touchdown by throwing to Calvin Johnson. Like, they have a specific task now. It became that much more engaging, and it made them feel like the game was kind of crafting a story for them and how to play it.
You know, it's interesting, too.
It's really interesting to play.
You know, it's interesting, too, because with the goals comes a risk-reward, too, right? So, for example, you know, you say, all right, well, I want to score a touchdown, right, because I want to win the game. But I want to get a touchdown pass to Calvin Johnson. It might be less risky just to run the ball up the middle, you know, so I could sort of achieve the main goal of winning the game. But that extra risk reward, do I want to try to get into Calvin and risk the interception or something like that too? So you're right. It definitely continues to add more to it other than just what is the score. You have to kind of factor in, well, how much of this goal do I want to try to go for versus, you know, what do I want to potentially avoid? And how do you sort of balance that to where you don't feel like you're leading players too far along to where they might even be too aggressive or make mistakes or things like that? How do you sort of figure out what that right balance is?
So it's interesting you bring up that case because there's definitely been people here who's like, oh, I was trying to get this goal and I forced it into Calvin and I threw a pick. Like, I should have just run the ball. We definitely have heard that, but it's an interesting choice. And one of the things we didn't want to make, if you didn't complete your drive goal, we didn't want to punish you. So there's no negative effects towards missing drive goals. They're just this extra bonus that it's kind of dangling out there for you for this, you know, extra of incentive and can kind of help direct the way you play if you want to. But, you know, you can ignore them as well if you don't. If you get a drive goal that you're like, you know what, I really want to run the ball this drive. I don't care what it says. But
right.
We, you know, a couple of the edge cases and situations too that, you know, we made sure we took into account, like making sure we're not triggering goals in situations that don't make too much sense. So we've definitely gone through and made a lot of adjustments based on that, based on game situation and everything.
Interesting. So, like, let's talk a little bit more about the drive goals, right? Like, there are specific goals tailored based upon the events in the current game to give players, you know, according to this, a unique challenge each and every game. Talk a little bit more about maybe some examples of what those goals might be and what sort of events they may be tailored from as I'm, you know, playing a game and trying to get that little extra bonus XP for my players.
Yeah, so an example would be, let's say you're on defense and you get an interception, and then flip side, you're now on offense, and the goal may be capitalize on the turnover, you know, punch it in. So that is kind of like how it flows. It, you know, it knew that you got a turnover on the last drive, so now it's prompting you to, hey, make sure you capitalize that on this with the short field and everything. So that's kind of an example of that.
Sure. So with these goals and with wins and losses, I presume, comes, you know, adjustments to confidence. You know, player confidence was a relatively new thing, if not introduced last year, I think no more than 2 years. And, you know, there's been discussion, controversy around confidence. Some people feel, you know, confidence is almost too prevalent. Others feel that, you know, it could be, you know, it's a really good way to sort of change the way that a player may or may not, you know, perform over the course of the year. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, confidence in relation to the goals and how it will impact it. Have there been any modifications around how confidence is calculated and perhaps how it is or is not used to, you know, affect the player's, you know, performance in a game?
So we definitely listened to what our fans had to say about confidence last year. It was a little bit too aggressive, I think. The system has been rebalanced and retuned. It's a lot more forgiving, but it's still something you have to pay attention to. One of the nice things about the dynamic goals is that they allow us to award just a little bit of confidence here or there for achieving those goals. So if you know that you've got a player that is a little lower on confidence, you can, in a dynamic goal comes up for that player, you can know that, okay, I need to give this goal just a little bit more credence if I really want to get him out of his slump. So, yes, there, you know, big changes have been made, and yes, the dynamic goal system feeds into that.
Do you have a sense for how many players really pay attention to the goals versus those that don't, and maybe that middle ground? Because, for example, for me, I'm really practically oriented, right? I just kind of, as long as I'm winning, I'm good. But I know other players, even in my league, will regularly say, oh, you know, because I did this and this goal, I got a little bit of extra XP. Do you have a sense for that, you know, balance of who sort of goes after the goal-oriented things versus those who tend to, you know, sort of play it the traditional way, so to speak, and just sort of focus on, you know, wins, losses, first downs, and touchdowns and things like that?
Yeah, so there's definitely, you know, a good chunk of people that like to play traditional, and similarly, I think, to how you do. But one of the things we did this year is by surfacing them in so many places, by putting them in the load screen as you load in, by giving you updates on the bottom line ticker at the end of each play. Like, it really kind of pushes these, like, oh, hey, if I just get 10 more rushing yards with Marshawn Lynch, I could complete his goal. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I'll do that. So it's one of those things that's like, previously, it's been a lot more challenging to get that information, and you definitely didn't have it on a per-play basis. So I'd be interested to see how you would interact with the game now that we have all this feedback, because we have seen people kind of change their tune. Like, some people, like, because it was a lot of work previously, and that was one of the things we analyzed, you know, when Colby mentioned accessibility. The goal screen, it wasn't right in your face. You didn't see it when you loaded in the game. You weren't really reminded about it. So by adding this in so many places and giving you that feedback where it makes sense, it makes it feel like that much more important. And even the people that didn't really seek out or care about it too much previously will probably find themselves interested in it. And, oh, wait, I could get a lot more XP by doing this little goal here. That way I can then, you know, bump this attribute up, you know, next week. So it starts crafting and kind of pushing you to play certain ways if you want to.
The other thing is, each player at some, you know, they have you know, as many as 4 or 5 active goals, and keeping track as a coach or owner, keeping track of 4 or 5 active goals for every player on your roster is not possible. So I understand why you would forget about it or not pay attention to it. Some of the core might have a short list of players that are really focused on trying to upgrade, and they would track their goals and make sure they hit their goals, but there was nothing in the game that told you when you had accomplished it. So this definitely changes the way you play and the way you think about the game and your players.
You know, you bring up a great point, John, which is feedback. You know, one of the things that I really liked about last year's game was, and it sounds like you may have had a significant hand in this, is the play design. Like, when you're coming up and you're choosing your play, the analytics that you get, the feedback you get, you know, before you execute the play, you sort of see what the matchups are. You know, when you're calling your play, you can see how well you have done in the past. You can see sort of what community averages are. And then after the play, you can see what your opponent called and then what you called and things like that. I loved that. And it definitely made me play the game differently the more that I used it. And it sounds like what you're saying is that because the goal feedback is much more integrated into the experience, it's just a lot easier. Therefore, that'll just become a sort of a natural way that you play the game. So did that goal feedback come directly from the play feedback? Were those related, or did it just sort of or were they not related, basically?
I definitely worked on the play call design last year, and that was one of the big things last year. We wanted to make sure, like, you know, a lot of people played with Ask Madden and, like, the suggested plays. So we wanted to make sure that users, if you were going to choose that play, you know, had an idea of why it was being suggested to you. Also giving you that the history on how many times you ran this play and how many times you averaged, how many yards you averaged, like all that. Like for me too, it's like I started saying, hey, I'm not really doing, I feel like I'm doing well with this play, but looking at the average, I'm not doing very well with this play. So maybe I'm not going to do that moving forward. So it does. It definitely helps kind of change. It makes you feel like a smarter player too. So it definitely gained that feedback, and that was, you know, it's a big process. Getting feedback right, it takes a lot of iteration. It takes a lot of feedback from playtest sessions and people around the studio getting a look at it, because, you know, a lot of people bring in their own perceptions, and you have to make sure it's right. Trying to make sure we don't put too much information on the screen or not enough. Like, there's a big balance there that you get when you try to make sure that the feedback is right, and it does. What it brings kind of this organic way of playing the game that makes you feel that much more empowered and that much more in the know, and makes you feel like it's a deeper experience. So those are both of the things that kind of catered into why we wanted to really focus on getting feedback right in game. And we wanted to make sure when you booted up a franchise mode game, we wanted to make sure that you knew it was a franchise mode game. This wasn't just a normal play now game. This was a franchise mode game with your players, your goals, your season. I mean, it's all kind of tied together.
Yeah, and in the age of analytics, I think that's more important than ever, right? Because, I mean, every season, analytics and data analysis play more and more of a role going into each week, you know, what tendencies are and who's successful doing what and things like that. It's kind of amazing how quickly it's come and how every season it's much more prevalent. Speaking of goals, and this is the last thing on goals because I got a bunch of other stuff I want to get to as well. Do your opponents see your goals? Like if it's late in the game and I know if I get an extra 7 or 8 yards with, you know, LeSean McCoy, you know, are they going to know that? Or is that just something that I can sort of see as the game is going on with the feedback? Is it specifically for me, or if I'm playing a buddy, you know, in my franchise, you know, in a live head-to-head game, will he know that as well?
Yeah, it's currently you're seeing your own goals. So he will be seeing his goals as well. So he may have some defensive goals that he's focused on while you have your own offensive goals. So right now it's very user-focused, individual-focused, I should say.
I like that, by the way. I don't want anyone else to know. You know, if I got to get 5 extra yards to get a big XP boost, I don't want anyone to know that. All right, some other things here. We've talked a lot about accessibility, usability. There's a hub. There's a new, you know, connected franchise hub. That basically the goal is to make it more streamlined and have players get where they want to go faster. So talk to me a little bit about what that really means and some of the specific examples, modifications to the hub that you made.
So the two biggest things that you'll notice when you load in here, it's like one is the things to do tab. Last year we had a home panel and we had an actions list, and they had a lot of similar actions on it. And there was some redundancy there that we wanted to kind of clean up. So we consolidate that into one place, so you're not having to like look at two different places and be confused why there's the same option in two different places. So that was kind of the real obvious change right at the beginning that we saw in playtests almost immediately. Also, the information that you're getting on the Things to Do tab is you now have a timeline. So you can see exactly where you are in the season. This is something that, you know, us kind of veterans or, you know, people that know the sport really well know exactly, you know, how many weeks there are in the season and know how many playoff weeks there are. And so we've added this kind of timeline so you can kind of track and see how far away you are to the Super Bowl and how long the off season is, which is something that even the more experienced users didn't know exactly how long that was. So being able to bring that to the forefront was a big win. So that was kind of like phase one, like making sure our things to do list and our actions were just really clear and upfront so you can get in and do the things that is important for that week. And then the other really big change that we made was the team panel. So we now have a visual depth chart. If you've played Ultimate Team the last couple of years, it's a similar idea where you can see all the players starting across your team on the offense, defense, special teams. So it's a similar type experience, and that really came from looking at usage data about how people play the mode. We noticed that, you know, the majority of our users, and probably the most or second most used screens, are the rosters or the depth chart. So we know that this was an important screen that people were accessing. So we wanted to make sure that that information was bubbled up and really give the coach and owners the ability to get this nice, like, high-level view of their team. So now you're able to see your whole team at one time, or at least your offense at one time, and then flip and see your defense at one time, and the depth chart, and you can drag and drop and arrange starters as you want. And the other really cool thing, too, we were mentioning confidence earlier, right there at the team level, you can then scan the whole team and see, all right, oh, this guy's being affected +2 because of confidence. And you can click on his player card, which we've also added this year, is a new player card where you now click on it and you now see this whole list of all his important attributes. So instead of having to scroll left or right on a depth chart to see this player's attributes, you now get to see a nice grid of all the player's attributes and which ones are being affected by confidence, if there are any, right there. And that's a big change that we've seen people really appreciate as they've been coming in and playing with it. You know, as a coach, like, you know, you feel like it's your team, and we wanted to make sure that we gave that that visual, we gave visuals to really support that. So you can really see your full team, and then you can also see the grades on the position as well. Like, all right, your quarterbacks are at an A, your halfbacks are at a B. So you can really kind of gauge on where you need to improve in free agency or training. So it's a really powerful screen, and we feel like it's going to get a lot of use and be really useful to people.
I have one more quick thing to add to that for the player card. We also put all the sort of common things that users will do to players, you know, view their goals, upgrade them, trade them, put them on the trade block, release them, things like that. And we surfaced all those to the player card as well. So you no longer have to go digging into the roster screen and then back out and dig into the free agent screen and back out and dig into the depth chart screen to make these changes. That's all done from one convenient hub. So it's a huge quality of life increase.
I wholeheartedly agree. A few things I want to talk about here. First of all, you know, looking at this screen, the visual team depth chart, it clearly comes from Ultimate Team. Now, I'm not a big Ultimate Team guy, but in playing it, you know, this at least appears to me to be heavily influenced by Ultimate Team. And you already mentioned that, John. Colby, it seems like this is one of the things where having a single creative director as opposed to the three or four like we talked about last week, this appears to be almost like a direct result of that, where you've got sort of that combination of what's good in this thing that could also be good in that other thing. Is that a fair statement to make?
I would say that's fair. You know, we also looked at, this isn't exactly like Ultimate Team. Ultimate Team has different goals with what that screen is trying to convey. This shows you more and also different data than the Ultimate Team screen, and it's also actually easier to use and manipulate the players because the most important thing is manipulating the data here, whereas with Ultimate Team, the most important thing is visualizing your team. So the difference is what's important on those different screens. And I guess, yes, having one person that oversees both matters, but, you know, this was something that when John first got the reins of CFM, this is one of the first things he wanted to tackle. So it just kind of feels like the right thing to do.
Yeah. Another thing that feels like the right thing to do is this player card. Like, I'm looking right now at a screenshot of Russell Wilson, and right there on that one screen, I see all his statistics. Instead of scrolling to the right and trying to, oh, wait, okay, well, his number for aggressiveness is that, but his number for, you know, throw power is this or that, and having to go back and forth. Having it all here on one screen, I didn't realize until right now how bad the scrolling left to right on the attributes was, but looking at this, it clearly puts it in perspective. It's a small thing, although it might not have been a small thing to you, but as far as usability, this player card thing in franchise mode, I think, is huge.
Yeah, you're right. This was not a small thing. It feels and looks like a small thing, but the effort here was fairly substantial.
And like you said, right from this player card, not only can I see all the attributes on one screen, but then I can just quickly hop over to goals or to trade or edit or add to trade block and all that. Really, really good stuff. All right, let's get into another area that has been a topic of a lot of discussion, and that is scouting. Now, a couple of things that I see here. One of them jumps off the screen to me, which is fantastic, which is combine events. I can now access the combine reports during the combine week, so I can look at their grade and results from the 40-yard dash, the vertical, the broad jump, the three cone, the 20-yard shuffle, and the bench press. And it does not require me to spend any scouting points. This has been something that I know you guys have heard people clamoring about for years. I'm a big fan of this. Tell me about sort of, you know, the process to get this in there and how you make it happen and how this all works. Because, again, to big-time franchise mode guys, this is a huge win.
Yeah, so we all love the combine around here. So, we saw a lot of feedback on the forums and a lot of people really wanted this. So this is one of the things that we went after this year. And it takes into account what the player's attributes are and gives them grades based on how well they did in the various events. And each attribute kind of, the various attributes map to individual events. Speed is the 40-yard dash, and then the 20-yard shuttle and the three-cone drill, it's more acceleration and agility. And one weighs acceleration more than the agility. So there's some calculations that we do to figure out how fast these scout guys are going to be and generate out of there. And one of the first things that we saw coming out was, you know, some people are like, well, I don't, you know, most of us know how quick a quick 40 is, but you know, some people are like, well, I don't really know if that's a good 40 or not. So one of the other things that we added to the report quickly after that feedback was, well, let's just tell them how they ranked in their position, which has actually turned into be a really cool, useful element there, because now you can click on a halfback, see his player card, and see that, all right, he ran a pretty quick 40, but it's like, well, I don't know how that ranks the other halfbacks. But right next to it says, oh, he's the third halfback. That means he's the third fastest halfback in the draft class. So right there, you know that. So you don't have to go clicking on a bunch of players and trying to compare and say, all right, so this guy's faster than this guy's faster. We tell you right there, if you click on a player, how he's stack ranked in his position. So you can see that with defensive players. All the players is broken down on a kind of a position basis.
So scouting, has been a big part of Madden. This year, other than the attributes from the combine stats, is the rest of scouting, is it a sort of a user interface upgrade, or is there other sort of fundamental changes to how scouting is done and how you accomplish what you want to accomplish in scouting overall in Connected Franchise?
It's a little bit of both. And I'll let John get into the details here, but you know, when John talked about at the beginning, he cares about usability and the game loop. The design for what we've done for scouting touches both.
So it's a little bit of both. So one of the first things that we wanted to do is, like, when you're looking at your list of players on your on the scouting board, you're able to see visually right up front. It's like, what are these players good at? So instead of making users go and hunt and peck and choose which attributes that they want to unlock, we're now giving them the power of, you spend some scouting points on this player, we'll now tell you his best attribute and what his grade was for it. And if you spend a little bit more, we'll tell you the second best attribute and what his grade was for it. If you spend again, we'll tell you his third best. So instead of having to like hunt and peck and try to find what this player is good at in this, you know, long list of attributes, we're now kind of bringing that to you. So you can say, oh, okay, I see this guy, you know, this guy's a great route runner. He's got great hands. You can kind of get that right at the front. Whereas, oh, this guy is better at blocking or whatever. Like you get that sense right off the top there. And the extra added benefit that we added to functionality wise was, I mentioned you can unlock three. So then the third one, we also then tell you, we reveal his true talent level. So what that means is, where does this player actually rank in the board based on his actual skills? So we do a calculation, and we know that this guy may be projected as a first rounder, but we know that he's actually has more like third round talent. So by investing a little bit of time and unlocking that third attribute, you also unlock his potential. And that then tells you whether you should take him early or not, if he's going to be like this overvalued player or if he's kind of like this hidden gem in the draft. Sometimes it's fun to like go to the bottom of the draft board to these undrafted players and just scout down there and see if you can find any of these kind of hidden gems down there. And then try to pick them up during the draft. So that's an extra kind of element that that you get. And we've also, we've tuned some of the how many points you get and all that stuff. So you get a little bit more points this year, so you're able to scout and have a better idea coming into the draft, how good a lot of the players are and that you're looking at the positions of need. Now, the last area, too, I want to mention is we brought team needs right to this screen. So instead of having to remember exactly where your team's weak at, on the left side of the screen, we actually show you, hey, your wide receiver core, you only have two right now, one left and didn't get re-signed. And then, so right now your wide receiver core is ranked at like a D or something. So you can say, all right, well, I've got a D wide receiver, I've got a D at defensive tackle. I want to target those positions in the draft, that you'll be able to see it there too, and also while you're scouting, to make sure you're targeting the positions of your team.
So I want to add one more thing to that, maybe two. And that's that the draft is no longer something that you can just sit there and stockpile all your scouting points until the off season, and then you just go scout everybody like right before the draft.
Uh-oh.
You now,
that's,
in order
that's to, bad for to me. Most,
in order to most effectively use and utilize the scouting system, you need to go and address the scouting on a weekly basis, I think after week three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after week three. So that's a pretty big change. We definitely want you to be invested in these guys and think about these guys year-round and think about who I need, where my team needs to go, more of a long-term vision rather than a reactionary at the end of the year, where can I shotgun and try and find some value? There was one more thing I wanted to talk about, but I'm drawing blank right now.
Well, that's all right. While you remember that, I do have a bone to pick with you. I really like the draft in Madden, but I'm famous for taking terrible defensive tackles that wind up being rated in like the low 40s. But I used to have to go hunt and peck to find that was a terrible pick. Now you're telling me right now, as soon as I make my pick in the draft, I'm going to see right away that it was a terrible pick, as opposed to finding out a minute or two later. So I'm going to feel bad earlier, is what you're telling me, based upon the new draft feedback.
Actually, you should feel good, because during scouting, you should be aware this guy's true level isn't as good. So you're like, okay, no, I'm going to deprioritize this guy. I'm going to continue scouting tackles until I find the two or three choices that I want to go after.
Well done.
So
very well done.
If you're doing it right, you'll be fine.
Big if. But it is interesting, basically when you're doing the draft now, you're able to find out as soon as you made your pick, looks like all of the attributes are there. You'll find out whether it was a good pick, whether it wasn't. Interesting. And again, it sounds obvious now looking at it, but it's probably quite a bit of effort that went into sort of continuing to make these visual overhaul changes to the draft.
Yeah, I just remembered what the second thing I wanted to talk about was. We did a better job integrating the draft board, the scouting system, and the draft right into the hub. So your things to do list during the draft will be, make your pick, look at your draft board, those types of decisions, and the players to draft will sit just to the left of your things to do, showing you where your next pick is, who's on the clock now, how much time is left, and you can go navigate around, look at the draft, and you always have a reference of whose pick it is and how much time is left. So it's it's just the entire system is better integrated. It goes back to that usability thing.
Nice. Yeah, I totally, you know, it's funny. Like, there are a few things that I definitely thought to myself using it, I would like to see improved. But this is definitely something that, now that you say it and I look at this, these are things that, you know, once I start using this, there's no way I'm going to want to go back to the past. Now, speaking about something that I have mentioned, and you'll probably hear from more than just me, but I'll take pure 100% credit for this. If I could give you a high five right now, I would. Free practice is back. So now we can take our team at any point in time and just go out on the practice field. Is that right? And if so, thank God.
Well, actually, it's DLC. We're going to charge you $5 for free practice.
Oh, all right, fine. Fine, I'll pay. No.
I'm kidding. I know that's going to come back to get me, but... Yeah, free practice is in, and it's exactly what you would expect. It's essentially like practice mode that you can choose from the main menu, but it's integrated into franchise mode, so you can use your franchise team and play with them on the field, call plays, check out your playbook, all that stuff.
And, like, I assume I can also, you know, if I want to see what it's like to play with my third-string quarterback, I can just plop him out there and play with him. Those are some of the other things, like, that I wanted wanted to have practice in, because I would draft these guys, and I would never get to, you know, play with them until it was game time. So that's, I assume those are parts of the things that are available in free practice, is you can kind of take your, you know, if you want to see how your quarterback plays, or your, you know, your rookie running back who's not yet ready for first-string plays, this is a great way for you to also see how those guys play too.
Yeah, exactly. You can do all that stuff.
Love that. So happy about that. We're almost running out of time. A couple more quick things I wanted to get to, though, before we do let you go. Owner mode finance tuning. Looks like basically you guys have factored in the fact that even if a team is in a small market, it's still got that sweet, sweet TV money flowing in, so they're not quite as poor as they have been in years past. Is that the case?
Yes. Yeah. we definitely heard the pain, and like I said, I think the tune last year for both confidence and finance tuning was just a little aggressive. It was a little too close to realism, and it wasn't fun. So we need to make it fun, and we need to allow you to at least, with success, be successful. And last year, with success, sometimes you still could not be successful.
Interesting. So another thing, you know, as a commissioner, right, like, you know, when you're a commissioner of an online league, whether it's just with a couple of people or, you know, 32, having that members list, you know, the user list, you kind of got to go click, 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 you got to click four or five times to get into it, make changes. Looks like you guys have made some adjustments to the members list for the online or the cloud-based aspects of CFM. Is that the case? And if so, you know, what are those changes and what do they let you do?
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, we love playing online leagues and with a bunch of people. So we want to make that process a little bit easier so you can see if you're, you know, who's played their game or not. That's one of the big things as a commissioner. You don't want to advance a league if a guy, you know, who's going to play his game and hasn't played his game yet. So you can see that right there on the hub. You don't have to go digging for it. You can see how many times he's started his game. So if he, you know, if he says he's restarted, you know, four times for, you know, various reasons, you know what's really going on there. So you're able to see that right there. You go, yeah. Every commissioner, I think, knows that. You kind of see that number. And you're like, all right. Yeah. And then you can toggle autopilot right there. You can clear cap penalties. You can remove them from the league. So there's a lot of little functionality there. And, you know, if you guys played NCAA Dynasty previously, they did a good job at showcasing, like, who's in the league and, you know, right there. So you can really make it feel like the hub is kind of part, is like the home for your league. And so, you know, we wanted to capture some of that in our own way. So we're really excited about that, and you'd be able to invite people right there too. So you can pull in more people into the league at any point you want to. Well, also earlier we talked about the Simulin, and it's not a done deal until you advance the league. So if, you know, the win that you were supposed to sim, the guy comes back and wants to play the game, you can undo that Simulin and let them play the game normally. So it's So it's a really flexible feature.
Good stuff. So last question, game prep. You know, game prep was a new item last year, caused controversy. What modifications, changes, balance, tuning, whatever, you know, what's different with game prep in Madden NFL 16 versus last year?
So there's been some tuning in that area for sure. A lot of the activities have been updated, and free practice, that's where you can access free practice, is right from the game prep menu. There's been a lot of tuning in that area to make sure, you know, it that really ties into the whole confidence tuning, and you know, there's a whole system in play, and all those little knobs and levers have been tweaked as needed in this area as well. So you can make sure you can focus how you want to focus in game prep, whether you want to focus on XP and build up your players long term, or focus the confidence, which is kind of a short-term band-aid to make your players a little bit better, but they may lose it once their confidence goes down. So you still have those choices, but as far as tuning around that area, it's definitely been overhauled.
Good stuff. And sort of the last thing, it's not a question, just a statement. I see one of the options, one of the new commissioner options, is to let elite commissioner sim a win. So, you know, if I'm in a league, I can just go in and say, okay, this team is going to win this game. And as a commissioner of a league, I think that is fantastic. Now I can make sure that TJ Lowerman loses every game, which is fantastic. That's exactly what I want. So thank you
very much. That sounds like a beautiful thing.
All kidding aside, though, these are a bunch of little things that that will make the CFM better. And so, you know, just as a guy who plays it a lot, I'm excited about a lot of this stuff. It seems like you guys are listening to the community, and you know, it's kind of like what you hope for. And I'm not trying to like be, you know, like blowing smoke up, you know, up anybody, but I mean, it seems like this is a combination of the vision that you have as well as listening to user feedback. And while nothing is ever perfect and everything is always a process, it definitely feels like this year's Connected Franchise Mode is going to have a bunch of stuff in it that people like me are going to want. So things are looking good. So I just wanted to mention that. Thanks, guys, for taking the time to talk to us today. I imagine there'll be some more stuff for us to talk about in the near future. Good luck the rest of the way getting Madden out of Alpha into Final. And once again, thanks for taking the time to come on today. Good luck, and keep cranking away at it.
Sure. No worries, man. It was a pleasure to be here.
Great. Thanks, Rich.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast, brought to you by Operation Sports. We ask that you please subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher and the Windows phones. We also ask that you give us a rating. That really helps us a lot. We also ask that you please follow each of our panelists on Twitter, and they are as follows. Polygon's Owen Good at Owen Good. Pasta Padre's Brian Medai at Pasta Padre. Polygon Submits Our Car at Submits Our Car. That Sports Gamer's TJ Lowerman at That Sports Gamer. US Gamer's Cat Bailey at The_CatBot. Operation Sports Chris Sanner at ChrisSNR. And Operation Sports Steve No at Steve_OS. And of course me, Rich Grisham at Rich Grisham. So thank you so much for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. And we really want to thank the great people at Operation Sports for making this show happen every single week. So thanks. We'll see you again next time.